Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! You're on the crazy train!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is. This week's edition of the Cutting Edge Outdoors, that's the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. And I got to tell you, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, we are unrehearsed, so you never know what's going to happen. He's Dan Bush, I'm Tom Neubauer, and we got Mitch filling in for Sam on the boards today. So, folks, if you want to get involved in the show, if you have any questions or comments, just give us a buzz at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, Danny, I got some breaking news.
What's the breaking news?
Okay. Now, my youngest son, Andy, he's an EMT for Bell Ambulance.
Yep.
And last week, one day, him and his co-worker, Cam, were out for their normal run in the ambulance, picking up people, helping people here and there. Well, they got a call. A lady was having a baby. Well, it wasn't it, and she needed a ride to the hospital. Well, guess what? Couldn't make it to the hospital.
So are you saying your son delivered a baby?
Yep, Andy and his co-worker Cam delivered a baby, and I said, "Oh man, how gross!"
You're right. It is gross. Why I would never be a doctor. Lots of stuff.
I was very proud of him, and I said, that's something you don't hear of every day. You hear of.
Listen, Tom, it can't be. Did he ever play quarterback before? All you got to do is put your hands down like under center and get the hut. Well, there it goes.
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, but
Let's think. What would you have to do? Okay, so you deliver the baby, you wipe it, you wipe its mouth off to make sure you don't have to necessarily crack it to see that it starts breathing, or that's when they cry, and then you gotta cut the umbilical cord, right, or tie it off or something like that.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's so hard about that?
Yeah. Well, this one, the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that was dangerous, but everything turned out fine. Baby and mama were fine, and I gotta say congratulations. That's pretty cool, Andy and Cam.
I actually do too. I kid around saying it'd be easy. I'd be freaking out. But is delivering babies standard training for the EMT program, or is that like winging it?
I gotta think that maybe it they must train them in it because they knew what to do. And I, when I asked Andy, I said, "Oh, that was pretty exciting." He just kind of like shrugged his shoulders and went, "Eh, another day." You know.
Another day, another dollar.
Yeah, so I guess if you get picked up by a Bell ambulance person, I guess you're in safe hands, even if you're going to have a baby.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll never have to worry about that myself, and hopefully I don't need that Bell ambulance anytime soon there, Tom. But you raised a son who's calm, cool, and collected, just like his old man. Nothing, unflappable. Nothing ever rattles him.
That's right. You got it.
You have to be unflappable to be in those bass tournaments and win those championships, by golly.
Well, there's a little nerves going on. You know there always
I was talking to guys, I was out fishing this week talking about nerves and they're golfers, right?
Yeah.
And they were talking about how sometimes, you know, we hear the stories about guys throwing their golf clubs or having a meltdown. And I guess that really is true sometimes on some of these golf courses where somebody just loses it. And when you think about it, to be the best golfer, you have to have like nerves of steel. If you make a lousy shot, you got to be able to block it out and not let it affect you, because once you start losing it, you know. So those guys, I think, are the ones with the best, you know, mental control. And maybe as a tournament fisherman, you almost have to have that same focus and mentality. You got to just, you know, otherwise if you start worrying about what other people are doing, or if you lost a fish that you should have thought you should have caught, you're going to get yourself rattled and you'll be off your game.
Well, you're right to it. You know, it is true. When you're actually fishing, you're not being rattled. It's like at the end, after you've weighed in your fish, and there's other people coming to weigh in, and you don't know what they have. You know, that's when you start getting a little anxious. It's like, do I have enough, or do I not? You know, you don't know. But I'll tell you one thing about golfing, because, you know, I golfed for years. And the thing is, you know, you see these golf. You ever heard of the yips? Y-I-P-S, the yips. Golfers get that, the yips.
They get the
and
yips.
That's when they're putting. Now, just imagine, Danny, you got a six-foot putt, and the difference between $1 million and $500,000 is on the line. So $500,000 is on the line if you make it or miss it. Just imagine the nerves going through some of these guys trying to make that six-foot putt. That's why so many golfers miss those short, easy ones, because their nerves are rattled, you know, and it happens to the best of them. It really does.
Well, I guess it's kind of like sinking a pressure free throw.
Yeah.
In a game, which it talk about skill type things and pressure. I was reading something in one of the magazines where this one gal broke the record with a .22 rifle, you know, when they throw a 2-inch block in the air. And she hit it some ungodly, I think it was like 30-some thousand times or 40-some thousand times in a row without missing. How is that humanly possible? Now, what do you think would be easier, hitting a free throw or throwing a small block in the air and hitting it with a .22 rifle? Well, I'd say, you know, hitting a free throw, obviously. But even the best free throw shooters in the world can't shoot 40,000 of them in a row and make every one. So I just don't get it. That's some kind of superhuman. I don't get. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw a thing too on YouTube. You can see it where a guy with a bow and arrow, he shoots an aspirin. I mean, you know the size of an aspirin. I mean, it's small. He shot an aspirin out of the air with a bow and arrow, and they had a slow motion, you know, of the arrow hitting that little aspirin. It's like, how does a person do that? You know, that's got, you know, I know there's skill involved, but to me it seems like, boy, there's got to be some luck involved too. I don't know.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange things that happen, but you and me, we're just common folk, you know.
We're just average.
Look at the world and in awe.
We're just average Joes with your average Joe's fishing show. So
hey, that would be a good name for a show, the Average Joe Fishing Show.
Well, I was going to write a book, Tom. I was going to write a book, and it was going to be The Average Joe's Guide to Life, and it would have all kinds of Average Joe's type tips for people, like Average Joe, if he runs out of toilet paper, coffee filters, always doing a pinch. I'd have all kinds of tips for the average Joe. And then I talk about the average Joe's life. So I'll have to start working on that book, I think.
That sounds good, because most of us are just average Joes, you know.
Hey, I wanted to mention before I forget, got a flyer from the Pewaukee chapter of Walleyes for Tomorrow. They're going to have a fundraiser Saturday, September 12th. It's the Dana Walk Memorial Fishing Tournament and Benefit Raffle. It's Saturday the 12th. It'll be at Gina's Sports Dock. Runs from 6 to 2, and there's going to be two-person teams. $40 to sign up, includes lunch, beverage, tickets. They'll have prizes awarded for game fish categories and basket raffles, meat raffles, silent auction, and more. So you can contact Tom Kipp at 414-333-9603 if you're interested, or you could, you know, contact someone else in the club. But Dana Walk, if you remember, Tom, Walks Island is on the west end over there. That's their family. He was killed in that Miller shooting this last year, tragically. So he was a member of the club. So something to keep in mind. Sounds like it might be a good cause and a fun tournament coming up in about a month.
Have you heard anything about guys catching walleyes out at Pewaukee? I mean, I haven't. My finger has not been on the pulse of that lately.
You know, I haven't heard anything about anybody getting any walleyes out here. Now, if somebody is getting walleyes out here, they're going to keep their mouth shut and not say anything about it. They were getting walleyes. I mentioned this. This spring, I saw boats catching walleyes right out in front on the east, in front of my place here on the east end. There were boats trolling every evening, and that's, of course, you know, shallow water, probably, whatever, 7 feet down here, and you know, if the weeds are down. So that looked like a spring pattern some people were taking advantage of. But since that time, I haven't seen hide nor hair of anybody catching any walleyes out there.
Yeah, I haven't heard a thing. And I believe what you're saying is that if guys are catching them, they're not going to say anything. Because otherwise there'd be a lot of people out there fishing for them, which I'm sure there are people fishing for them, because they got to be catching them because the lake has so many in it. So, yeah, we're going to have to check this out, you know, this week, see what's going on with that.
What is interesting, Tom, though, is the bass fishing seems to be down the last couple of years out here. They had the Lunkers Unlimited, which is a great club tournament out here last week, and I was here for the weigh-in, and they're kind of meager pickings, some small bass, you know. I think the biggest bass, one gal had a pretty decent one, about 4 pounds, I think. But in years past, you know, you'd typically have, you know, a couple of 4 and maybe 5 pound, you know, 5 pound plus in there. And in full bags for everybody. But you'd see people coming in with, you know, they take the bag and bring it to the weigh-in, you know, with maybe, you know, 3 little 14-inch bass in there. So I don't know what's going on out here.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I know they go in, you know, there can be cycles, I guess, for fish on a lake, right? Isn't there sometimes?
Yep.
But now bass. They don't stock bass necessarily, do they, in the area lakes?
Nope, no need to stock those guys. They're very prolific. They're like bluegills, you know.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, they're going to multiply every year. And, you know, sometimes, well, you know, it might have been the day. Could have been maybe a tough day, although it did look like a beautiful day that day. But, you know, it could have been a tough day. You know, you never know, you know, weather-wise or whatever. So, but that's too bad because, but you know, then again, and in a tournament situation though, if it's a tough day weather-wise, you know, and the fish have got a little bit of lockjaw, everybody's got to put up with that. So sometimes, you know, only catching 3 little bass is enough to win, you know, but you got to work your butt off for those 3 little bass. So anyway.
Well, have you ever been, in your years as a tournament fisherman, have you ever been on a body of water when fishing was just terrible, just really tough for all the competitors, where it was hard just to catch a bass?
You better believe it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've had those experiences, yep.
And I imagine these tournaments are normally held on lakes that are considered to be really good for bass.
Well, you know, usually you would think that, but there were a few that were not, you know, really known for bass. And you really had a search for them. And, you know, heck, when I fished at Castle Rock Flowage, that's a big body of water, and it's not really known for bass. And, man, I'll tell you what, I worked hard for 2 days to try to catch a few out there. So, yeah, I've been in those situations, yeah. Hey, Danny, I got to tell you, first break of the day coming up.
Oh.
And, you know, you're sitting at home, and I'm in a undisclosed location somewhere in Wauwatosa, and being very comfy. I just hope you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine there, buddy.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I got my speakerphone on my cell phone, so I can hear things really nice. So everything's going peachy dandy right now, but right now we got to take a break. This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors, brought to you by Baitmate Fish Attractants. We'll be right back, folks, with more. Don't go away.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tommy the True Neubauer. We want to thank you all out there for listening. We always make it a point to thank the law enforcement officers out there protecting us, first responders, people working at Bell Ambulance like Tom's son delivering babies, and healthcare workers all the way around, and military. Thanks for what you do.
So, what's on the agenda this morning, Danny?
So, I got some information here, Tom. And
yeah.
I'm going to once again, being as you are kind of like, you know, a genius, I've got one of my shooting magazines, and they're ranking, I guess it's Guns and Ammo magazine, they're ranking the states, the best states for concealed carry in 2020. And basically, these are the states that are, you know, the best as far as you being able to, you know, to actually do that and exercise that right. As you know, some states are more stringent and, you know, on their gun laws. Now, I believe it was under Walker that we were able to finally get concealed carry passed here. And you had to either take a course, or if you had your hunter safety certificate, which I did, I was able to get that certificate. And I was up at talking to our friend Randy at Midwestern Shooter Supply this week. I was up there Thursday, I believe. And man, you wouldn't believe the amount of people going in there. I mean, gun sales, we've talked about it, are booming. Ammo. People are starting to think that they need to exercise their Second Amendment rights and protect themselves. So that's pretty booming business. But of all the states, Tom, which states do you think would be like the worst, the most restrictive? I just want to see if you can guess which ones they might be.
I would say any liberal Democratic state.
Okay, well, give me some name. Okay, see if you can name one that's in like the worst five, top five as far as.
Illinois.
Okay. No, actually, surprisingly, no. Illinois wasn't as bad. No, oh, wait. They were ranked. Okay, they talk. Somehow we got. Why does it say we got 51 states? That's weird. Well, they're ranked 42, like worst. If it's a number one, that means it's a good state for concealed carry. So Illinois. So, but it wasn't in the worst five. Take another guess.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just gonna throw out Massachusetts.
Yeah. Well, they're number 45. But here's the ones that were the worst. At number 51, Hawaii. Number 50, this one shouldn't surprise you, California.
Oh, yeah, I should have said that right away.
Yeah, I would have thought you would have guessed California.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, they got New Jersey. And the next one, New York.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, you could pretty much figure those. As far as Wisconsin, let's see, I'm thinking Wisconsin wasn't, I think we were more kind of middle of the road. We were ranked number 27.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of in the middle. But as far as the states that were the best, let's see
all
if
the
you, oh yes.
West.
Okay, you're on the right track. Name one.
Well, like Montana, Wyoming, Utah, all of those places.
Hey,
Texas, fairly, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma. Where all the cowboys come from.
Yeah, and here's what it says. Arizona issues permits, though it doesn't require them for concealed carry if you're over 21. Open carry is legal at the age of 18. Arizona managed to score top marks in every category they used for their evaluation. Yeah, so Arizona. Another good one said Kansas, and then Idaho, and Kentucky, New Hampshire, Alaska. So yeah, you're pretty much on the right track there.
Yeah, Alaska, you'd almost have to. You know, you got all those darn polar bears wandering around trying to eat you.
Right, right. And Alaska, I would imagine, is one area where if you're walking in some remote town, middle of winter, and you got a 44 Magnum strapped on your hip, nobody's really going to think anything of it. You know, because like you said, there's wild critters and stuff running around there. So
yeah, I think they're all walking around with either a rifle over their shoulder or a sidearm. Yeah, you better believe it. I know I would be.
Well, you know, and the other thing though too is we mentioned last week we were talking about the NRA and how they kind of had a debacle and with some of their execs getting kind of greedy with funds, so now they're in trouble. But we do need organizations out there fighting to protect our Second Amendment rights. And the one that we did had a caller called in and suggested was, I think it was GOA, Gun Owners of America. And I went to their website, and it's like $25, I believe, to join. And I meant to join them this week, and I haven't gotten around to it. But I believe I'm going to do that because they do get involved in doing some fighting, you know, with some of the legislation and so forth, trying to protect our rights. And at this point in time, especially with the national election coming up, you know, you don't know the way this world's going. You wonder what rights they're kind of taking away our First Amendment rights now, where it used to be you could say something or express an opinion. Now people are getting fired from their jobs just by expressing their own personal opinion. So the world's gotten kind of Orwellian here. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. Some of these companies are throwing those, freedom of speech out the window because they're not allowing people to say what they think. And it doesn't matter what it's about. If you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, if you don't like the pick that Joe Biden, you know, his running mate, you know, if you're a Democrat and you don't like that pick, or you're a Republican and you don't like the person personally or whatever, I mean, you can't even say it now and you get fired, you know, with some companies, you know, that is. So, we're kind of losing a few of those rights there. So we're going to watch it.
So what's your Bass report this week? Have you been in between what your son's delivering babies? Have they taken you out bass fishing this week to Lake X?
No, my oldest son that I usually go with, he did his last basketball tournament. You know, he's the head coach for the varsity basketball team at Wauwatosa West, but he also had a finish up his head coaching job with AAU basketball, and he was in Minnesota this last weekend. They had some big tournament up there, so that was his last one that he had to do. So this coming week, we're going fishing. So as a matter of fact, I expect to hear from him today about going out tomorrow, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
So they were continuing to have basketball tournaments, even with the COVID thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
I'm kind of surprised that they were still doing that with all the hysteria about the COVID thing right now.
Well, you know, that's how these young fellas, they get seen by the big colleges, you know, by the scouts. And this is their opportunity to be seen and maybe to get letters of, what do they call that, when college wants you to come to your to their place. I can't think of the name of it.
I don't know. I never got one of those letters, Tom, so I wasn't quite so...
Well, you know, when the college wants them to come. So, you know, they're being seen by these big-time scouts from these big colleges, so this is their opportunity to shine, and I guess they didn't want the kids to lose that opportunity. So, anyway, right now it's time. We got to take another break, but folks, right after this break, we got the gut report. I got a really good one for you. I just made it the other day. It's really good, so, you know, I can verify it. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss it here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
This week's gut report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, folks, like I said before, I just made this the other day. I call it a taco tomato surprise or tomato taco surprise. What you do is first you take some tomatoes, some good-sized tomatoes, and you hollow them out, okay? Hollow them out. Then, and you got to take a little slice off the bottom of them so they stand upright. Anyway, then you take a pound of ground beef and you, you know, heat that up, drain the grease off of it, and then you add a packet of Ortega taco mix. Mix that all up, okay? Then when that's ready, you put the taco meat mixture in the tomato, and then you put your fixings on it. You know, you can put, you know, like your cheddar cheese, maybe some onion or whatever. You put some lettuce, some sour cream. I'll tell you what, it looks great when it's all sitting there. It's a little messy to eat, though, but you know what? It is really good. And right now, with all those tomatoes popping in gardens, it's a great time to try this. Anyway, the Discount Liquor, just wanted to let you know, is in its 60th year of business. No other liquor store has been local and original family-owned for that many years. And there's a reason why they've been that way, folks. They've been in business that long because of price, service, and selection. So if you're looking for weekly specials or just looking for that hard-to-find item, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com. That's DiscountLiquorInc.com for weekly specials. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tommy the True Neubauer. Thanks, Tom, for that great gut report. And don't forget, folks, we will have the Hornswoggle segment coming up later. And for last week's winner, we did send out the prizes on Thursday, I believe. So for last week's winner, you should be getting that shortly, if you haven't done so already. Tom, I was looking at the, I've been checking some reports on the Bay of Green Bay, and as you guys know, we had our friend Jerry Ruffalo, who has Anglers Plus Guide Service, on the show a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, and he called in, and he posts regularly on Lake Link, if you ever want to check some of his posts, but evidently, the bite for the walleyes is going good on the Bay of Green Bay. Looks like they're out there trolling number 7, the flicker minnows, and in racy shad and green alewife being the best. Right now, he's booked totally for August, but he has some dates open in September and October, so I would encourage anybody, if you want to go out and probably end up with a limit of walleyes, Bay of Green Bay, call Jerry up there at Anglers Plus Guide Service.
Yeah, he does a really good job, and boy, I'll tell you what, that Bay of Green Bay, we you know, I'll tell you, Dan, we in Wisconsin are so fortunate. We've got, like, the Bay and Green Bay with monster muskies, monster walleyes, monster smallmouth. We've got over 15,000 named lakes in this state, more than Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, anyway, and they're just all full of fish, all different kinds of fish, and then we got Lake Michigan with all the salmon and trout. And then the hunting opportunities, you know, bear and deer and all kinds of other stuff. I'm telling you, this is a great place to live, and I hope a lot of people don't hear about it. Otherwise, we'll get too many people here taking up your spots in the parking lots.
Oh, yeah. There you go, complaining about the people from Illinois now.
See, no, you were saying that you didn't want kids to grow up liking fishing because you didn't want them to take your parking spot.
Well, I've kind of changed my mind on that one.
Well, we all know you were joking.
Yeah. Pewaukee this week. Yesterday, in fact, I was out with Tom Pippin, who was on our, on our show last year. So Tom contacted me, and he's got a friend named Bruce, and they go to the same church. And Bruce, I think, is in his 80s, and he still loves to fish. So we were able to get out there, and we got Bruce a muskie and the big pike. But while we were out there, I watched a family. It was kind of nice. It looked like the whole family was on the boat trolling, and we saw Dad jump up and handed the rod to one of the boys, and I could see him clearing lines, and it looked like the lad caught a fish. So I thought that was pretty nice. That a kid could get on out there and get a fish. As far as the water temps on Pewaukee now, as you guys know, it was, about a couple weeks ago, it was really pretty brutal out there. So I had canceled some trips with Dr. Sandy because when the water temp is, way into the 80s, then it's tough on those muskies sometimes to revive them. With our cool nights, the temperatures, typically back down to about 78. I've seen 77, 78, might get up to 79, maybe later in the afternoon. So you still want to be careful when you're handling the fish. Couple things to keep in mind. Make sure if you do go out there that you have all your hookout tools right next to you. One of the tools, Tom, that I've been using, which I hadn't used for years, for muskies was the Baker hookout tool. Now I used to always just use a long needle nose, but I found that Baker hookout tool is actually easier because you hold it, in your hand, it's hard to explain, but it's just easier to hold and operate that without likely dropping it into the drink. Whereas with a long needle nose, sometimes you're trying to open it up and so forth. You could easily drop it into the lake. But the Baker hookout tool, another pike tool that I used to always use was a jaw spreader. And, for years I never even bothered with muskies, but I've had, if you have a fish that seems to be hooked, messed up and it's hooked down deep there, sometimes just putting a jaw spreader in there can help get the hooks out. So, having those things and a cutter, because I've had to cut hooks. Now, you can go and spend, expensive lot of money buying different cutting, types of fisherman's tools. What I like to do is just go to the hardware store, Tom, and get like a mini bolt cutters. They're like 10 inches long.
Yep.
And just get that mini bolt cutters. And, I mean, they're not much. Sometimes you might even find them in go to your Ace Hardware, find them in the clearance bin. And buy one of those and keep it sharp. Replace it every couple of years because they do get, the jaws get kind of rusty and it gets tougher as far as cutting the hooks. But generally those work really slick. And I'll tell you, that has saved the life of some fish out there when I had to just say, heck with it, I'm going to cut these hooks. And then it was, easy release.
Yeah, I've had to do that many times. My bolt cutters are actually got a blue handle. And had to use those many times, cutting the hook off to, slide it out of a muskie real easily. And the Baker tools are very popular. We sell a lot of Baker, hookouts and needle noses and mouth spreaders. And, the old mouth spreaders would sometimes puncture a hole in the bottom jaw of a muskie or a pike.
Right.
There's new ones now that... they've got kind of a flat spot on it, so it still holds the mouth open but doesn't puncture holes. So those are like fish-friendly, I guess you'd call them, mouth spreaders. So, yeah, all that stuff is important to have. If a person's going to go muskie fishing, you better be prepared because when that Chinese fire drill happens, you don't want to be looking in the tackle box for stuff. You want it right there by you.
I think our buddy Jeff Tilkins up there at Smokey's on the Bay. He I believe the company that he was working with was Tyrant. I think is right. The name of the company. And they were the first that I ever saw about 10 years ago that came up with a jaw spreader that was designed to be easy on the fish and not go puncture a hole in the fish's mouth.
Yeah, I think that's who it was, yeah.
But, otherwise, the regular ones, though, Tom, unless you have, it seems to me if you get like a small little fish, like a little northern or something, those are the ones that would sometimes it would puncture through. A bigger fish, they're pretty sturdy. I haven't had a problem with that at all.
Okay. Well, I gotta let people know I got a fishing report. If you're looking for big bluegills, Monona Bay out on Lake Monona out in Madison is producing really dandy bluegills, and the people that told me this information, guess what they're using to catch them?
Nightcrawler.
No, mini mites.
Mini mites. Oh, okay.
They're catching a lot of them on mini mites, and they prefer the pink color, but they were buying a couple of different colors yesterday because they had never seen some of these other colors, so they figured they were going to try them. But pink was their favorite. I told them my favorite was always orange, but you know, by golly, I wouldn't argue with success. If you're catching them on pink, keep doing it. But I also want to let everybody know that Studio 360 Photo, it's run by our good friend Dave Olson, is in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. It's your one-stop shop for professional photography and video production. Dave's got like 40 years of experience. He can help you with no matter what size of project you have. It's Studio360Photo.net. I mean, if you've got any kind of photos to take. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to get my wife to sit down with me, have a nice photo of us taken, you know, but I don't know if she'll do that. But anyway, give Dave Olson a call and look him up on the web at Studio360Photo.net. You'll be glad you did. And Danny, coming up now is the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Carl's Country Market and Bait Mate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. You can win some really nice prizes, folks. So you want to stay tuned. You know, Carl's Country Market has got the best meat around, the best sausages. They're award-winning sausages. And, of course, you know, Bait Mate and Coleman, they're the best at what they do. So, hey, we like to keep our friends close, you know, because our friends are always the best at what they do.
799-1250. Now, if you have won in the last couple weeks, kind of maybe try and let somebody else have a chance to call in, because we get lots of people calling in trying to win. But, yeah, if you haven't won in a couple weeks and you want to give a shot, 799-1250, and I'll try and keep the questions. I'll try and keep it easy this week, Tom.
All righty. 414-799-1250. We'll be right back with more with the Hornswoggle, and we're brought to you by Bait Mate Fish Attractants. Stay tuned for more, folks.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan Bush, along with Tom Neubauer. Mitch on the boards, helping us out in the studio. Thank you there. And Mitch, do we have a contestant for the Hornswoggle?
We do for the Hornswoggle. It's Roger in Cudahy.
Roger in Cudahy. Good morning, Roger. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Doing good. Okay. So we've got hunting season's going to be coming up here in about a month. Bow hunting and small game, and crossbows. Some guys are using crossbows now for hunting. So I'm going to kind of go on that theme. So the fastest speed, arrow feet per second speed that a crossbow can reach is 200 feet per second. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Oh, Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle. Yeah, any idea, Roger, how fast they can go?
I would say probably about 400 feet per second.
Yeah, you're right on that. I'm going to be talking about that in a little bit after our Hornswoggle segment. Okay, crossbows are now legal to use in the state of Wisconsin along with the regular bow season? Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle.
All right, Roger's hot.
You're 2 for 2. And with the super fast 400 feet per second crossbow, shots at 200 yards are no problem. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle, okay, that's good. All right, well, I figured I'd make these relatively easy if you know anything about crossbows and hunting, which you obviously do, Roger. So you'll get that $10 certificate from Carl's Country Meat. You'll also get that prize package from our good friends at Baitmate. And thanks for listening.
Oh, great way to start the weekend. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks.
Hey, Danny, what was Roger's total score?
3 for 3.
Well, he's a genius, folks, ain't he?
Well, no, Tom. No, Tom. You're the only genius around here, buddy.
Oh, you're
it's
a genius,
just you.
Man. You're a genius. You hooked up my cereal.
Speaking of geniuses, we've got Fish Addiction, Sean Gillis, on the line.
Hey, great. We haven't heard from Sean in quite a while. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Good morning, Bushy. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good, man.
Outstanding. Hey, I just called to let you guys know, you know, with the COVID and everything, nobody's open, nothing's going on, but man, are we beating up on the huge coho and big kings on the lake.
That's what we've heard. Big kings, big cohos, big fish out there.
Yeah, last trip out, we ended up having two cohos over 13 pounds, which is unheard of.
Wow. Yeah, they had the big salmon tournament up in Sheboygan, and they had fish over 30 pounds coming in.
That's crazy. It's a great year for it. I'll tell you what, fishing's never been so good.
So, at the beginning...
What?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I was going to ask you, Sean, are you still taking people out?
Oh, yeah. Every weekend, every morning if they want to.
And how do they get a hold of you if they want to go out with you?
Just call me direct at 414-852-8446, or you can go on fishaddiction.net.
Yeah, so what's been your popular lures?
The white paddles have been on fire lately, the white Dodgers and Flies, Frog, Super Frog, and Little Boy Blue. Been crazy.
Have you been having to go out in deeper water?
We have been. We've been running about 12 miles out, 250 feet of water, but it's worth it. You get out there, and we had, the biggest king we had was 26 pounds last weekend, and... yeah, the cohos were huge, just huge.
12 miles out. Can you see Michigan from that far out?
No. you can still see the city of Milwaukee at that range. You usually lose the city at about 17 miles. So.
Oh, really? Wow. That's oh boy, that make me nervous.
So do you have to go out that far just to try and is it because there's too much warm water in close? What's going on there, Sean?
Yeah, there was a lot of warm water in close. The temperature break was down about 90 feet, 70 to 90 feet. And that temperature break happens to be where the salmon prefer to feed. So we were following that temperature break, and we found the most bait and alewives out in 250 feet of water. And they were all the fish we caught had adult alewives in their stomach, and they were fat and happy.
So the 13-pound, I've never heard 13-pound coho. I mean, I'm used to catching like 3-pounders.
Normally you're getting 2 to 5-pounders all the time, and occasionally one bigger than that. Our smallest one that trip was 6 pounds, and our largest one was almost 14.
And then what did you say? You got a 26-pound king?
26-pound king. Yep. And
I have heard of some 30-pounders coming out of the lake this year.
Yeah, that's not unusual. Like a 30-pounder is a wall hanger for sure. A 30-pounder is something to brag about, but you don't get a lot of them. But, yeah, there have been a few caught.
Why do you think, a couple of years back, it'd be nigh impossible to get a 30-pounder? Is it because there's more bait fish, alewives available, or have they cut down on the stocking where there's not as many fish, so
yeah,
not as much competition?
Yeah, there's less fish being stocked by the DNR. They were afraid that there was too little bait in the lake, so they reduced their stocking over the past 5 years. Now they're bumping the stocks back up because they see in their net surveys that there's plenty of bait in the lake, that the fears of no bait was unfounded, and so they bumped their stocking back up. And in the next 4 to 5 years, we'll have salmon coming out of our ears.
So how about as far as any big lakers? Are you stumbling into any of those out there?
Oh, yeah. If you want to drop down deep enough, the lakers prefer to be a little bit below the salmon. But if you want to drop down deep enough, there are times where we've gotten 23, 24-pound lakers already this year. So they're big if you want them.
Yeah, I would guess there's probably some 30-pound potential out there for lakers.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
I guess Lake Superior is the place where they got the legendary 50-pounders and so forth. I don't think I've ever heard of anything that big coming out of Lake Michigan. Maybe Tom can check the records there. But, you know, Tom was talking earlier about how we definitely have great fishing opportunities all the way around here. Now, you're out there slamming the salmon, and we've got our other friends up there, Jerry Ruffalo, up slamming walleyes in the Bay of Green Bay. Muskies, from what I hear, I'm getting some early reports that some of the guys in the lower bay are starting to troll into some muskies now. So that bite's going to kick in. So lots to look forward to, my friend. And then you're going to be up trying to shoot some trophy deer soon, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir. I ordered, before the COVID thing hit, I ordered like 700 face guards or buffs that had the Fish Addiction logo printed on them. And boy, did those come in at the right time. I think I got 50 of them left after all the COVID stuff. Been selling like crazy.
So you're actually selling the face masks to, what are you selling them to your fishing clients, or are you going online?
Actually, if you book a charter, you get the face masks for free.
Hey, what a deal. Hey, you know, shrewd marketing there, my friend.
And we're coming up to the top of the hour, and Sean Gillis is on the phone with us. We appreciate you calling, Sean, and if people want to hire you, because it seems like you've got your finger on the pulse of the salmon and trout out there, all they got to do is go to fishaddictions.net, correct?
That's correct. You can book online. You can even pay online if you want to.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling, Sean. Don't be a stranger.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take it easy.
Take care.
All right. Bye now. And when we come back after this break, Danny, I do have the two records in my hand of coho salmon and Chinook salmon, and you'll be surprised what they are out of Lake Michigan. So we'll be right back right after this, folks. It's going to be a short break. Second hour coming up with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.